try to kill us, but my village too strong. Long live the people. Here we go again with the bullshit you want. Long live the people.
We have all these mixed blood people over across the country. We cannot exclude them.
There's nothing wrong with being Red River Métis.
We are all Métis.
There was an attempt to define Métis. And we said no.
There's Métis from Red River. What's wrong with Métis from someplace else? And they were also Métis people.
Uniting our people is at a very sad state.
We are all Métis.
Hey, welcome to the Jig Is Up, guys. So tonight we have the conversation number two from the community of Conklin. Conklin is a traditional Métis community recognized by the government here in Alberta, and it's up by Fort McMurray, Alberta, for those who don't know. It's just a little bit south, about an hour and a half south of Fort McMurray. It's not a large community, but it is a traditional Métis community and has been since its inception. It was founded by Métis people, and it's always been that way, and their descendants live there today. So I want you guys, I want you to listen to this and just hear what some of the issues they're facing are. There's some very, very serious issues up there. There's housing, there's community-level poverty. There's a lot of, in my personal opinion, greed and corruption going on up there. And, you think about Alberta, you think about all the opportunities that the oil industry provides and all the big money and huge things like that. And it just, it looks good on the outside, but I think it's like anything, you scratch the surface a little bit and you'll find a whole lot of problems. And I'm not going to blame this stuff on political parties. I'm not going to blame it on, whoever. I'm just going to say that this has been a fight that's been going on for quite some time up there. So you're going to hear in the voices of the people on the podcast a little bit of frustration, a lot of anger. But really what it boils down to is they've been fighting this fight for the better part of a decade or more. And nobody is listening. Nobody is helping them out. And it's not a matter of, just slapping a bunch of money together and calling it good. This is a problem that really needs to, it needs a more encompassing solution than just slap a few bucks at a problem. So have a listen to the conversation. I hope you guys get out of it as much as I did. And, out of total respect for our Métis brothers and sisters up there, I'm asking you guys to share this podcast. If this is the one and only podcast you share all year long, please make it happen on this one. We need this message to go out everywhere. I know we got listeners in Eastern Canada. I know we got listeners all over Canada and even some across the world. So share this with every Métis you know. Share it with every non-Métis you know. And let people know the reality of what's going on, not only in Conklin, but more so even in Alberta. Everybody, I think a lot of people have this impression that Alberta just has gobs of money and everybody's living like kings out here. And in all reality, that's just not the case. And some people are, and a lot of people are not. And so for those that maybe think that the Western Métis have it made, we don't. We're facing struggles too, and it's not just sunshine and roses out here. And certainly Conklin is a great example of that. And I'm going to kick right to the conversation. I hope you guys, get as much out of it as I did.
Long live the king.
All right, welcome to the show. So I'm up here in Conklin today and have a couple of guests with me. And let's just go around and introduce ourselves.
My name is Ray Richards, and I've been a member of the community for over 40 years.
Awesome. And
I'm Joanne Richards. And I have been a member of the community, I'm 50 now, I'd say 40 years.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay. And the reason we're up here, we had done a show before about the fish at the camp, but I understand that there's a lot of issues with housing and things like that up here. So we kind of just want to bring that story to light. We had told people on the show before that we were going to come back and continue to bring this story. So maybe I'll start with you, Joanne. Tell us what's going on with the housing. What is some of the issues with housing that you have experienced?
Okay. I was recently on the Today paper with the hardships of the housing crisis we're having here in Conklin, housing and land crisis. Industry has leased up all of the surrounding land bordering Conklin, so there's no room for Conklin's growth. I have had no choice but to, here's the term, squat on Crown land. I've been there for 6 years. I have no running water. I use a generator for power, a wood stove for heat, propane for supplement and for cooking. I go hunting for chickens, rabbits, fishing for fish to supplement my eating. I am on income support with municipality of Wood Buffalo, and I also use the food bank to supplement my grocery situation. For the last 3 years, I have been unemployed. I am sitting in the middle of the oil and gas industry. There's about 7 or 8 major companies that surround Conklin right now, and I am unemployed for the last 3 years. I feel like I'm living in a third world country in the middle of the oil sands industry.
So why is the unemployment? I mean, because from where I'm sitting, we see in the newspapers and the news that there was an agreement signed and for employment and things like that. So why, you know, I guess, why are you unemployed? Why is it, is there reasons for that?
When they say that there's agreements there, there's agreements in place to hire so many people from the communities.
Yeah.
But what's happening is it's the people in the communities that already have their companies in place that are getting hired.
Okay.
So not necessarily are they these people with, from the community hiring local people.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, we have one, actually a couple companies here that hire Filipinos.
Okay, so basically what it is there will be somebody will set up a contracting company, and they live here in the community, but that contracting company then hires whoever they want.
Exactly.
And it's not necessarily, but
and they call them local.
As per the agreement, they hired a contracting company from
exactly.
the local community.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's happening not only in the Métis, but also in the municipality, right? So any work that comes in, it's usually contracted to companies outside of our area, and then so they bring their own workers into our area. Just mm-hmm. recently, the Wood Buffalo Housing is setting up some trailers there for members in the community, and all the work that's being provided there is being contracted out, and other people are coming in, right? So there's no work there for our locals here. And that's one of the situations that we have where, like with Joanne, Joanne has been unemployed for how long? And it shouldn't be, because like now we're having this new municipal building being built, and there's got to be at least 30 to 40 people working there. However, there's not one person from Conklin working there. And it seems that this is our problem, not only with the community itself, but as you know, the Métis community is the same way, right? And it always seems like that either only the leaders are being able to take advantage of all of this.
The people that get firsthand info on the jobs, and it's usually the people that get the firsthand info are the ones sitting at the meetings.
Yeah.
So myself, I'm not allowed to sit at these meetings.
So these are private meetings.
Yes. So now okay. they get firsthand info on upcoming jobs. So right now they want their companies in there.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily hire the local people from here.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Exactly. So and then we don't.
You're
get
not
these.
Seeing the benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't get it. We have a multi-million-dollar complex being built here.
Yeah.
A multiplex.
Yeah.
That's geared to. It's geared. To cater to the oil industry,
mm-hmm.
not the people of the community.
Yeah.
The people of the community, if they want to use anything, any of the facilities in that place, they have to pay.
Yeah.
Like, why is it we have to pay? And not only do we have to pay to go into the building, to use the facilities there, but our taxes are going up to pay for that building.
Wow. So you guys being a traditional Métis community, like we were talking earlier, you know, you guys used to live by the lake and things like that. So when you're talking about they've leased all the land out to industry, so like, you know, we're sitting here and there's several a whole family, several generations living on one little piece of property.
Yes.
Exactly.
Now, I guess from the outside, they're going to say, well, why don't you just buy your own property?
Well, see, that's...
I'm in a situation, my living conditions are not the best either. I do not have running water and I do not have electricity. I have an extension cord going to the house.
Yeah, yeah.
I use a pail. My water goes outside.
Yeah.
Everything. How am I supposed to go to work?
Yeah.
You know, when I need a shower after work.
Mm-hmm.
I need to cook after
work. Well, and like you said, if you're not employed, well, then how do you buy your own
land?
Exactly.
Right?
So
yeah.
It's kind of, for me, I'm in a catch-22.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about going to work because of the way I live. I when I come home after work, I'm grubby and need a shower. I don't have that.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a little tub. That's where I wash.
Yeah.
Is in that little tub.
And with our the way our Métis is set up, they're giving people with houses and land $3,000. However, you've got 3-4 generations living in one lot, and then those people are not getting anything. They're not getting any help unless you have a camper or something, right? So if you're living with your parents, you're getting nothing at all. It doesn't make sense to keep on giving to the rich and nothing to the poor. I would rather see the $3,000 they give me go to somebody in a camper so that they're able to... It's like this one young guy over here, he's trying to build a house out of the money or things that he has around him. And and then to be refused by the Métis Nation over here, that $3,000 is ludicrous because... You know, I got my own house, and yet they give me $3,000 for renovations. I do need the $3,000. However, I would rather see that $3,000 go to this guy to build his own house, and then to take advantage of that $3,000. You know, he's building a house on his nephew's lot, so now he doesn't qualify for that. Because they're only helping for one lot. So if you got four generations living on one lot, you're only getting help for one.
Yeah.
So the other three generations get nothing, and that's why we got, you know, grandmother babysitting her grandchildren while her daughter is living in a camper. You know, and this is the same reason why we have another young guy over here. He's trying to build this place for his family. Mm-hmm. And he asked for a door. They wouldn't give him a damn door. You know, we have elders over here last year that have asked the Métis Nation for help because his water pump had died. And they refused them. They said they have no money in there, right?
They're seniors.
And then this organization is saying they got how many thousands of dollars in their annual report.
Yeah.
So why did they tell this old guy we can't help you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's almost, I don't know, he's 80 some years old, and they couldn't help him with his running water. You know, and then, you know, it just doesn't the things that happens with that Métis Nation or association.
How do they
this
sleep
doesn't
at night?
Make sense, mm-hmm. right?
So well, like you were saying, they're building this huge, massive complex, but you don't have a seniors facility.
No, we don't have a seniors facility.
We don't have a
youth, anything for our youth.
Nothing.
And it's like I said, for education, our young people are being sent out of here.
Yep.
So this building here that they're putting in place, all they're doing it with that building is catering to the rig pigs, the surrounding rig pigs.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not
for
it's,
their use.
It's, yeah, it's not
yeah, like
for
there's
us
not
going to
be classrooms in there. There's not going to be. No.
They're putting a football field and a soccer field and another ball diamond. The ball diamond that we have is growing grass on in the middle of the diamond because they don't use it.
Yeah.
So why are they spending millions on a football field and a soccer field and a ball diamond?
That we don't even use.
There's nobody in the community here, any kids, any children that I see or know of, and it's a small community, yeah. that play football or play soccer. So you know
yeah.
who they're catering to.
Yeah, yeah absolutely.
Not
yeah.
to mention like the two skating rinks they originally had, then all of a sudden the municipality decided to plunk a, what was it, a $1.3 million dome skating rink here.
Ten.
No one wow. uses no one uses the that, other skating rinks anyway. Yeah.
Wow.
It's not even being used at this moment, at this time.
So yeah, obviously it's very, very clear the planning is for
it's yeah.
that side
it's
of town.
They're catering to someone
to the people
else.
That can afford yeah, the $300,000.
They're not catering to people like this.
Yeah. yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And then you see like all these development happening. You'll see a 3,000-man camp. You'll see another 3,000-man camp.
Yeah.
There's probably at least six of them out here, and then half of them are not even being used yet. They spend money to keep all these camps
maintained
and everything. And yet, it's like, you know, we have people over here that are like in campers and stuff. And then our municipality don't even want to clean the road to
like, get yeah. to my place.
They don't even want to plow your road, yeah.
You know, and what does it take? 5 minutes? And then, yeah. you know, for a grader when he's doing it, it doesn't take nothing.
No.
You know, it might take like $20 to go and do her road.
Exactly.
You know? Money I don't have.
yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you know, these are the types of, you know, things that are happening in our community. It's just not fair that only part of the community
benefits from everything here.
Yeah.
It's all about money nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hate it.
So what is, I guess what, because you guys obviously would have a town council or a, so like what do they say? Is there any type of response from them as to, do they have a plan to deal with
well,
the housing issue?
Because
they communicate with you?
I've been asking questions and I don't know if I asked the right people, but when every time I've asked a question, because I represent the Conklin Métis, Leadership Council, and not the Métis Local 193 or the CCA. They don't want to talk to me. They only want to talk to the CRADC, which they say represents the community. However, they don't represent the whole community, right? It's like our organization represents, like we've got, like I said, 40. I think it's around 40 members, and the CCA nor the. The Métis Local 193 represents us out here. So,
yeah.
you know, how they can say that they represent the community is beyond me.
So, obviously, I mean, you guys are essentially basically, you know, on the proverbial road allowance of you're not getting represented here. These guys don't want to represent you.
No.
You're just on your own and nobody's really willing to put any work in.
Yes.
Exactly. Is my impression of things.
Yes,
exactly. So, getting back to that last question, you said who is doing anything about the housing crisis. Wood Buffalo Housing is trying, but they've got four trailers being put as we speak onto their lots. These trailers were donated by the Red Cross to the government. The government gave them to
Wood Buffalo Housing,
and Wood Buffalo is bringing them here to Conklin. And they want to charge the Conklin people rent for these free trailers yeah. that they received.
Exactly.
Wow.
That I so don't think get, is un. That I don't
they
think
get,
is fair.
They get free trailers donated to them, and yet they bring them out here, and they say they're going to do us a favor by making them affordable housing for the
yeah.
lower income people.
Yeah.
So they want to bring those
free
those
trailers,
poor, those free trailers here to make money off the poor people again.
Yeah,
we've got 50-year-old houses that Wood Buffalo says that they want they're helping the low-income families.
Yeah.
Okay, those 50-year-old houses have paid for themselves over and over probably 30, 40, 50 times.
Oh, yeah.
So how can they be doing the community a favor by charging low-income families rent every month on 50-year-old houses that have paid for themselves over and over?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that money going?
Yeah. Wow.
They've got other little houses over there. They that are newer, and they're tiny. They're not even as wide as this living room here, and they have one door, no back door.
Mm-hmm. No emergency exits.
And there's a senior living in one of those homes.
There's a fire by that door. How did they get out?
Exactly. Yeah. How does this... How does this 80-year-old woman get out of that house?
Yeah.
And the windows are too high for her to climb out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They are.
Well, you shouldn't have an 80-year-old climbing out of windows.
And they say they're doing this community a favor
mm-hmm.
by bringing their unsafe housing for one.
Yeah.
And charging rent on 50-year-old poorly insulated homes.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to have four trailers, nice trailers that were donated to them and bring back to Conklin and charge the poor people for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yes.
How does that help?
How does that help?
Again, from Calgary or wherever else, you see this big deal with industry. Does industry ever say anything, or is it just they have their deal in place and that
industry only hears and sees what the leaders of this community tell them?
Right.
And the oil industry has never come to my place to sit down and have coffee with me and see where I live.
What the real story is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, they have their community. They have meetings in the community. They expect people to go there and stuff.
Right? For sure. Yeah.
And maybe, but they too, right? There's one company up here has donated or has given the community like $40 million now. Now, you know, it's being squandered away by this other organization that have all these different organizations sitting on the boards. And the thing is, you have industry sitting on that board as well. I really don't think that industry should be giving you money and then telling you how to spend it, because they're sitting on that board. And you know, I know they don't have control of the board, but they do have say on how the money is spent. I really don't agree with that. I think you're going to give me money, then don't tell me how to spend it, you know, because if I need to give it some to these people and then some to these people, then that's what I'm going to do. And if it's not
are
all going to go on housing.
Are we not living in a democratic
society?
Country, yeah. You know? But they can dictate to us how we spend our money. That's the same with our little housing program. Every year that we get this little money from the community to the home renovation. I went there. I get $750 because I live in a camper, and I've made trying to make a home out of this camper.
Yeah.
So I get $750 from Home Hardware in Lac La Biche. I'm not allowed to go to McMurray and Home Hardware in McMurray. I got to go to Home Hardware in Lac La Biche.
Yeah.
So I get to Home Hardware in Lac La Biche. I'm not allowed to buy tools.
Wow.
Yes. I'm not allowed to buy tools.
So with the $750,
you're restricted on what
you can buy,
yeah, I was,
where you can buy it.
Because I asked if I could buy an axe. No. I wanted a skill saw. They wouldn't let me purchase a skill saw because I need to cut lumber.
Yeah.
Right?
So you can buy the lumber, you just can't cut it.
Yeah. Right.
Or use nails.
Exactly.
Yes. And I asked for a hammer.
Good luck.
I asked for a hammer and I wanted a snow shovel and a rake. I couldn't get any of those things.
Wow.
Because I was told that, no, I can only buy materials.
Very dictatorial society.
And their excuse for doing that is that industry wants to know exactly where that money is going. So it's actually industry that forces you to see, and that's what I mean. Okay, industry is giving us money for this, and then they want to tell us how to spend it, and then they want us to prove how we spent it.
Yeah,
and they sit there and tell us they're doing us a favor.
Yeah,
yeah.
How are they doing us a favor?
Well, it sounds just like when you get money from the government.
Yeah, they don't think that we have a mind of our own to be able to distribute that money how we see fit.
Yeah, like you know where the money's needed.
Exactly. Yeah. It's needed here.
Yeah, and then at the same time, you see, this is, if I go and ask our leaders there, local, 193, why we can't have a check. Well, it's because some people sell this, some people do that. So now they're actually judging you already based on other people's actions or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
You know, like when I asked about a check, I was told that because people will go drink it up and stuff like that. Well, I don't drink. I don't have no problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Why are you judging me this way? You know, you're saying that if you give me money, that I might go and drink it up. Well, I don't drink, so
yeah.
So, and like, you know, like,
even if you did, that money is rightfully ours, people of the community, and the people of the community. What they do with that money is their business.
This is one of the excuses that they use to treat you this way, though, right? So so we're not only being treated like criminals, because now they're saying that you get this and then you sell it, and so you know, like, you're not trustworthy or whatever of all this money.
So we're not going to give it to you anymore.
Exactly, and
yeah.
Like, what if somebody wanted to use that $3,000 and say, okay, well, you know, I don't need the $3,000 for the home renovations here, but hey, my mom might need something, you know? Or,
well, what if one person needs $5,000, one person needs $1,000?
But, okay, yeah. So...
Like, why can't you?
Okay, wrong amount I said. My $750 is what I should be saying.
Yeah.
Okay, my $750, like, that's not a lot of money.
No.
I'm not working, and $750 really, like, what can I do? How is that really going to help me to winterize my home?
Yeah.
Every year I count on this. Okay, I get $750 this year. Okay, I'll purchase this year, and then next year when I get my $750 again, I'll purchase this, and I can put them together, and then maybe I can have something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so you're on like a 2-3-year, 4-year plan.
Yes,
To build anything onto your house.
If I was getting $3,000, what if I wanted to take that $3,000 and use it as a down payment to purchase a property? Why can't they do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
See, but one of the things like they do, right? So before you had different generations trying to take advantage of that, right? So what they want to do is they stop as many people taking advantage of the money. So that's why we have, they've said that they're only helping one, it's like one house on one property.
Yeah.
Whereas before there was, you know, 3 or 4 generations, like I said, on one property. So now they're helping these three, but to get away from helping, like, you know, they want to keep that money for themselves, right? That's basically what it is, I think, anyways, because why wouldn't you want to help everybody instead of just one you know, like one household, or like, it's like, especially if you got 3 or 4 generations living on it. It's like I said over here, you got a grandmother babysitting her grandchildren because they can't stay in this camper with their mother.
Yeah.
You know, and they won't help this mother build a house or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so they prevent her from actually getting anywhere in life because they're only, you know, they're helping the rich and not the poor.
Yeah,
it's like,
well, you said you're getting $750.
Yeah,
and you're living in a camper. Somebody living in a house is getting $3,000.
How do you justify
even if
that?
They're renting.
Now, I guess in
the wintertime, how do you justify that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't have running water.
No.
And so I would think the $3,000 is more needed where you're at.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what everybody says. But because the leaders are already situated on their properties and their homes. And some of these
and their
leaders,
families don't need any of it.
Yes, they have more than one property. Mm-hmm. So do they get for every property that they own?
Absolutely, yeah. So, well, and that's the other thing is, okay, let's say you chose to have 3 generations living on this lot. Why wouldn't you want to maintain the houses that everybody's living in?
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter. You could put 10 houses on one lot.
Exactly.
You still have to maintain 10 living areas.
Yeah.
So it's not, you're not maintaining your lot, you're maintaining where people are living, and that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, with my own situation here with my son, I built him a house because thinking, okay, now he can take advantage of that $3,000.
Yes.
But now they changed that before, because, so now it's like one house on one lot.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter how many other people are living in campers. It doesn't matter. And they gave him $750, and then it's like for him too, right? $750. Like, you know, what the heck can he do with it? He can't even buy a window for his house because the windows are, you know, over $1,000.
Why don't they just give me that $750? I'll save up that money, and hopefully in 10 years, you know, I'll have $7,500. That'll be a little bit of a down payment on a property.
It would
but
be.
That's, yeah. You know, but, our whole problem is, though, like, if we don't have land, then we got, you know, what's the sense of having a house, right?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. And that, too, is like I said here before, they give us land here, and then there's no employment, there's no education, there's no nothing in this community. So how do you keep paying for your lot? Eventually, the municipality takes it over.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what I think they want in the first place. They want our place over here, so they give us lots. Now, my grandmother, how in the heck was she able to pay for her taxes back then? You know, I don't understand why they would even take that deal, because now that she gets a couple acres and now she's got to pay. Before, she didn't have to pay that, you know. You're basically like renting. So I'm thinking we need land here. We need some sort of a settlement. And if we don't get that, then what's the sense of it, right? I mean, you know, everybody else,
like,
you know,
when they
get hard times, then they're going to want to sell their lot, or if they're not selling it, then the government's going to take it back again. So, you know, so we need to get out of that situation. What I want to see is, I want to see us get lots,
permanent land for a Compton,
like settlements, so that you know, at least we don't ever own it, but we can occupy it as long as we live.
Mm-hmm.
So if I occupy a certain area, then my son is going to be able to come move into that house and that area, as long as somebody in the family is there, right?
Yeah.
And then it go back to the community if no one's there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Just
the way it well, it doesn't get sold off.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
And you know, so this way, you know, government's not going to be able to come back and take your lot after not paying your taxes. And you know, this is what's happening around here. It's like I said, Dennis... My cousin Dennis over there, he's you know, he's a hardworking man, and but there's no work here.
Mm-hmm.
So how the heck is he supposed to pay his land taxes? And then not paying his land taxes, before he lost his lot, he sold it, right? Real cheap. Real cheap.
Because he needed the money.
You know, rather than losing it, at least he gets something out of it, right?
Absolutely.
And so now he's in a situation where he got no land, he's got no house, he's got nothing. He lives in a camper and he gets he didn't even get $750 this year, because I don't know why he didn't get it, but he didn't get it. So, you know,
and
there's like how many other people like in that situation, you know, and the thing is, like, you know, what's the sense of putting these people into rental units? You're never going to own it, you know?
Yeah.
And you're never...
It's
you're
just
never,
like saying, here, we'll give you bills to pay.
You never fix the
Do
situation.
Do I want them? No.
So, you know, and then if you give us our own land, and then we'll, you know, create our own housing.
Yeah.
We can create employment. We can create education programs. You know, like, why wouldn't you want to do this?
Yeah.
You know, but it seems like, you know, industry and government just want to keep on...
They want to take Conklin from us.
You know...
That's what it is.
Well, then, I think that really is... It boils down to that.
Yeah.
Is they want to push people
they
out.
They want to take,
and you guys will end up somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about you now.
Assimilation.
And we can sell the lots for $300,000-$400,000.
Yeah. For the money.
We make lots of money.
Yeah.
And that seems to be just the growing trend.
Yeah. Instead of looking after a person's well-being, the money is more important.
Yeah. I mean, and the same thing in Saskatchewan. The government's selling off all their crown land, but they're putting it up for auction rather than giving it out to the Métis that live there, the First Nations, anybody like that. No, you have to go bid on it.
Oh my God.
Of course, the farmers who've been grazing it for decades, well, they go bid and they win it. No, so now they got really cheap
land.
You know, 400 more acres of crown land.
They only end up with 500 acres.
So it just seems to be that's what the government, a lot of governments and things are doing, is push people, indigenous people out, so that we can make money off of it.
Make money. Yeah.
You know, because clearly you're not figuring out how to do it. So you're not making nearly enough money off of this.
No.
You just want to have a place to live.
I never knew. I never knew how to be corrupt way from the beginning. It's just now, like...
Yeah.
Now it's the norm. It's new to me. Like, I'm finding out, like, corruption is rampant.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
In this area. It's
well, and it, you know, it's prevalent in government, nonprofit, everything. It's about money.
We need to get back to the grassroots and start fresh again.
Well, I mean, people need a place to live. They need to eat.
Like, I do.
Like, even the hunting rights. Well,
yeah. I was put on this earth,
If you're hunting to eat, why is that illegal?
Exactly.
It should never be illegal.
I still hunt to eat. Yeah. And I always will.
Well, you have to.
I have no choice. I got no job.
Exactly. Well, and I think the thing you were saying about settlements, I mean, I think that would be great because then it would give you the opportunity to negotiate your own deals.
Exactly.
With industry, with government, and give you your own say on that.
And this is one of the reasons why, like, this area is you know, like I've said earlier, we're going to set up a healing place here.
Yeah.
And we are going to set up along the Christina Lake there and
rename it back.
And you know, like I said, I'm not going to ask anybody. I'm just going to go and do it now. Like, I'm to that point where I'm so frustrated with the industry, government, and the way things are. I'm just going to go and do it and take it from there, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that's, Métis everywhere. It's getting to that point where you just got to, you got to start standing up.
Yeah.
Because otherwise nobody seems to listen.
Yeah.
You know, and until you do something that drastic, they just don't listen.
Yeah. We had an incident here this spring down at the lake. The fish were floating in the lake.
Yes.
They were dead.
Yep. They were dead.
By natural causes, I'm sure.
Oh, well, yes. But so,
what was said was they figured that somebody from BC had came over to Christina Lake here and not properly dried their boat, so the bacteria in the boat is now in our lake, and so they're thinking that either the fish were died or have died from the bacteria, or they think that it may have been lightning. However, I don't think lightning is going to bother anybody or anything
like
in
that.
The water when there's ice on it.
Yeah.
Because we only saw the fish after the ice was gone, right?
Yeah.
And it seemed to be that all the fish that died come from this adjoining lake over here they call Sawbones, and also from the area we call Sucker Bay in Christina Lake.
Yeah.
And they were doing seismic, actually Meg Energy was doing seismic on the lake last year.
But of course
that's got nothing to do with our fish being, you know, floating in the lake there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a few fish, it was like hundreds of them, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
but of course the local people have no brains, they don't know nothing. So they come up with a little brush it under the rug.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little story
about the lightning and
in the wintertime.
Yeah. Help Greenpeace. We need your help.
Well, but see, there's another thing. I mean, you need somebody to come up and have like what happened.
Exactly. Like, I mean, what is going on with the housing? Our leadership in the community here, we're aware of these fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what have they done?
Yeah.
Did they put all their letters of concern under the table? If you give me more work.
Yeah.
You know, give me the work, give my company the work, and I'll brush those under the table.
I'll keep these people quiet.
That's
what they are.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure this is what they say. This is my opinion. But I'm sure leadership goes to these companies and says, okay, I'll take this, I'll rub your back, you rub mine.
Absolutely.
And I'll keep the rest of Conklin off your back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the way things work, right?
And that's got to stop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we want Conklin back.
Yeah.
They're not doing a hell of a good job with it.
The actual original Conklin people are becoming extinct because of the way the situation is.
Exactly.
But see, that plays into the perfect scenario because then there'll be no more Métis here.
Exactly.
And then there's no more rights to have here.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we don't got to worry about harvesting rights. We don't got to worry about housing.
Yeah.
We don't got to worry about special arrangements with industry
and stuff.
That's what
we're fighting for.
Yeah.
We can just do whatever we want. Yeah.
Majority of those leadership that exist today on our current boards are not even from Conklin.
Wow.
Yeah. And they go around dictating who's from Conklin?
Mm-hmm.
How's that so?
Yeah. So now, and then you guys are a traditional Métis community, as recognized by the government.
Yeah.
But then not all of your members are eligible for Métis Nation cards.
Exactly.
No.
So they can't vote in things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And things like that. So how, that's the part I don't understand about a lot of this stuff. I mean, I understand it, but I really don't understand how you can do things like that.
That's what leadership just loves.
Well, it's divide and conquer, right?
Yeah, it's divide and conquer. That's what's happening here today.
So you guys formed your own board to try to take back some of the control.
Exactly.
What are some of your first, goals with that initially?
One of our first goals is to actually become recognized by some sort of government, like either the Métis Nation, we've asked to be part of the Métis Nation. Like we've separated here from the local 193 because we don't like to be, we don't want the representation of the local 193. It's corrupt. It's not. So we don't want to be part of that. However, we're not saying that we don't want to be part of the Métis Nation. And yet we've asked the Métis Nation to be, that our association be a part of them. But we've been turned down. And so now we're an association, but what do we do? Where do we go? Who's mm-hmm. going to help us? We are Métis people, but it seems like the government doesn't want to recognize us as well as our own Métis Nation. And if you're not recognized, then how do you get help? Where do you turn to? This is the things that we're faced with now. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing with us is that we don't have land so that we can create our own housing, our own employment, our own education programs. And without this, we're nothing, really. Mm-hmm. We're just squatters, like Joanne says, like we're squatters on Crown land.
Yeah.
And yet we've lived here in this area for years. Like my parents were born here. They're born along
their
the lake.
My cabin is still standing where my mother was born.
That's over 100 years old, that cabin.
Yes.
We have grandparents that were living here back in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. This means nothing to anybody. I can't say means nothing because this is the this is how they got our community to be recognized as a Métis society here or a Métis community here is because of our grandparents. Our mm-hmm. grandparents were here before, and this is what why the lake means so much to us, right?
Yeah.
This is where we're from. This is where
our roots.
This is your land.
Yes,
this is
our land. And yet, we live like this.
Yeah.
In campers, ramshackle shed added on to it
with black mold.
And then have our own leaders, try to keep you poor.
Yeah. Rather than see the whole community do well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like last year, they gave me $50 to get ready for winter.
Yeah.
A $50 Rona cart.
Yeah. Wow. Here, Joanne, get ready for winter.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's like, what do you do with $50?
Well,
go buy a bunch of bleach to try and get rid of the black mold you're living with already.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready for winter. My black mold's gone.
Yeah. Wow.
Who am I gonna talk to now?
I think that's one of the biggest problems Métis faces: the lack of land, mm-hmm. because it doesn't you where do you even start? You have no land. You have nothing to.
Nothing. We need.
Like you said, you can't even build stuff because where do you build it?
Yeah. See.
So they do have crown land around here, obviously.
They have a lot of crown land here.
Somebody's
being greedy with land.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Somebody's being greedy with land and should give us our land back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we live on properties. We're doubled up on properties. Families are doubled up, like more than one family on one property.
Yeah, yeah. That's really.
So
ridiculous.
I'm living on another person's property. It doesn't belong to me.
Yeah.
So when I go to house to sit in this property, it my residence is not allowed to be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So which means I have to build everything on skids.
Or put it
blocks.
On tires.
Yeah.
Or something.
Live in a camper.
Yeah. So now how, when I get this money, now it's kind of a tricky situation. Okay, so it can't be a permanent residence, so I have to build like this and I have to build like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
yeah. Yeah.
Right now I've got my roof is on 4x4s to hold it up so it doesn't squish my camper.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is why I say we need land so that we can create our you know, if industry, government is not going to help us, then at least we can create our own our own housing program, right? And start there. But like until government and industry starts recognize that we need land, you know, and it's like, you know, Trudeau is telling us like we got to get back our culture, or he's not going to be helping us. Don't ask me for anything, basically, right? So if we can't get land, then we can't get back our culture because we can't practice our culture.
Because governments are not.
Because
leaders.
You know, like as it is now, there's nowhere in this community that we can go set. Like I said, I want to get a teepee big enough for our members so we can all sit in this one teepee and whatever we decide or we're going to do things in there, right? So anyway, there's nowhere for me to go set this teepee up.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere in this community that'll allow me to go set this teepee up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just do it along the lake here this year. And I don't care. Somebody's going to come and kick me off. Well, they're going to have to, right?
A lot of times, you know.
But until we get our own land, then we got nothing.
Yeah.
We're sitting here and we're not liking the oil industry surrounding us. But I was just thinking, what if the oil industry doesn't know our real situation?
I hope they do by now, yeah.
If they really knew our situation,
mm-hmm.
would they allow it?
And would they keep sending money to those that $1 million to these different boards like CRDAC, CCES? I think they should stop sending money there because that money's not being it's being misused.
You get $40 million and then they give you $1.5 million a year,
mm-hmm.
and then what
and then
they do
is a quarter
is
of it is going to his secretary or his coordinators or his
or bonuses.
And there's so, $5 left to buy a house.
They give each other bonuses like they're giving away Halloween candy. You know,
10,000,
like,
20,000.
They do
well, like you said, they get paid for every meeting. They get,
yeah,
you know,
they do.
So.
No, they give themselves a bonus, $10,000 bonus.
And
at
yet
the end
these
of the
positions
year.
That they have in place are not posted positions; they're appointed.
Yeah.
Positions.
Yeah.
They're not. So it's like, okay,
how does
now
anybody get a chance
these
to
people
do
here
it?
Have been appointed to collect and benefit from that $1 million that we're supposed to get a year.
Yeah.
So how I would like to benefit from this. How do I benefit?
Yeah.
Are you
yeah.
telling me you put that multiplex there in place for me to benefit from that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When really, I don't play football. I don't play soccer. I don't play baseball.
Yeah.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and that's another thing. Like with our organization, we asked them if we could get an office there. And my feeling is being a nonprofit organization and
we'd never afford it.
You know, we should be able to get an office there for free.
Yeah.
However, they want to charge us for it, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, like how do we get anywhere with
yeah.
our organization, right?
Yeah.
If like I said,
they keep putting roadblocks in front.
Well, that's just it. You can't get government funding because the government already funds the
yeah.
Métis Nation here.
Yeah.
So you can't get any money that way.
Yeah.
And then to get an office, you have to pay for it. Well, you can't get the money. Then how do you pay for the office?
Yeah.
Then you're essentially stuck out again
yeah.
on that proverbial road allowance
and
where no
yeah.
man's land.
And that's what I was saying. Like, you know, how can you practice any of your culture or try to do anything if you're prevented in ways where you're unable to do anything?
Yeah.
So, like, it's like right now we have an office for our organization, but it's in my mother's house because we can't afford
yeah.
anywhere else, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And even if we could afford it, there is nothing in this community.
Yeah.
There's no more land to grab up.
There's,
yeah.
no, there's nothing. And then when we go to Fort McMurray,
oil industry leased it all.
to ask where we can lease land and stuff like that, they tell us there's no land to be leased. There's no land available in any way, right?
Wow.
So, you know, again, there it just makes you feel so frustrated. Like, you know, where do you go from there? What do you do
yeah.
from there, you know? And then who do you look to for help? You know, and this is one of the reasons why I've emailed Justin Trudeau. I feel so frustrated and nowhere else to go. Who do I
mm-hmm.
ask? Well, I'm going
to
ask.
Turn
that.
To media, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
so,
yeah, you do whatever you can, but
yeah,
it is a very frustrating thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, what do you do, right? I mean, At your local level, it's corrupt. Your regional levels are corrupt. And then, you know, we get no help from our provincial level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so where as a Métis person, like, you know, I just, you know, it makes me wish I was treated even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
At least they're getting some help.
Yeah, my friend Marianne, she's treaty. She's on her way to McMurray here to go pick up $10,000 voucher from Red Cross, $5,000 check, $20,000 from the band. Mm-hmm. That's what she's going out there for right now.
Yeah. Red Cross, we need you now.
Well, it's not.
Yeah,
you know, we're not treaty, so they don't look at us, right? And we're not we're not actually, they don't consider us part of Métis Nation. So what are we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If God didn't put us here, the Creator didn't put us here, what are we here for?
Exactly.
Aren't we allowed to be happy too?
Well, and that's just it. I mean, like you said, you have members that have no cards with the MNA, so they're nobody, according to them.
Yeah.
The government says, well, if you don't have a card with them, then you're not a Métis.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then try to get your card. It's like my daughter's been trying to get her card since she's 16. Apparently, you're eligible to get your cards when you turn 16, so
that
you're able to vote. It's been over a year now, and my daughter has just got her application back, and it was sent back because there was no picture. I was sitting there when they took her picture. Mm. And that's what I mean. You know, if our local level is corrupt, our regional level is corrupt, and we don't get no help from provincial.
Where do you go?
You know,
believe you me, I have made many phone calls.
I believe that you have. Yes. Well, and you know, unfortunately, that's the sign of times. Where do you go? You got nowhere else to turn to.
Yeah. So we need help.
Yes.
We need help.
Yeah.
So if anybody out there is willing, especially a lawyer, to work for free to help us out, please do. Pro bono. Yes,
even.
Well, we will definitely get this message out on the podcast. We're going to try to get some media attention at least for you guys. And I don't know. I don't know what the answers are, but we'll try
to
do something.
We'll work to find some.
Yeah. Because it's got to change.
Yes, it has to change.
Yeah.
Should we have contact info? Can we say it?
Sure. If you want to give out contact info, feel free.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grace Richards, you can contact me at Lena's Bed and Breakfast, 780-559-2032.
Perfect. Well, I want to thank you guys for being on the show, and I think we could probably talk for another 4 hours about this stuff, but I think we got the message out, and hopefully we can see something happen.
Okay.
Soon.
Perfect.
And I'm Joanne Richards. I'd like to say thank you for all the help people have been giving me in building my roof. David and I are finally in a nice, dry, warm home. Thank you very much, Fort McMurray, and the four good Samaritans that showed up and threw my roof together.
Nice. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you.
Long live the king.
Well, guys, I hope you got a lot out of that conversation. I want to start off by thanking Ray, Grace, Joanne, Ernie, everybody up in Conklin for inviting me into their community, inviting me into their homes, and, you know, opening me up to what's really going on up there. I want to thank you guys for having the courage to fight this battle for the last better part of a decade. But I really want to commend you guys on taking action and taking charge of your situation as best you can. You formed your own organization. You're trying to take the steps necessary. And you know what? I hope that we can take these steps together moving forward. But to everybody listening, I know, like I said before, we got everybody across Canada here that's listening. Please share this episode. Share it on your social media. Share it with everybody you know. Share it with all your Métis friends, all your Métis family. And let's really blow the top on what's going on for our Métis brothers and sisters living in communities where there's no running water, there's no adequate housing and things. And they're being pushed out of their community, their traditional communities. We can't let this stuff happen. We got to take control of this now, and we got to stand up and step up. And the least stepping up we can do is to get this message out and make it go viral, just like the video that came out of Conklin where the fish were being stolen. We need this podcast to go viral just as much as that did. And when we get up there and we do shoot some video and we get that out on YouTube, we're going to ask you guys to share that like crazy as well. Because the more this story gets out, the more action that's taken. You know, there was some fish taken out of camp and the video went viral and the minister went up himself and brought fish to the community in as a way of saying, I'm sorry. If we can do that for fish coming out of a camp, certainly by making this go viral and using the power of social media and using the power of public pressure, we can certainly make a difference and an impact on how the government looks at this stuff, how the local government and the provincial government and maybe even the federal government looks at these communities and looks at what's going on. You know, a lot of times Métis issues get buried behind First Nation issues. And I'm not, you know, coming down on our First Nation family. But we Métis have our issues too, and we need those voices to get heard. And for far, far too long, these guys' voices have been, you know, muffled and stifled and not allowed to speak out. And that's just simply got to end. In today's day and age, there's just no acceptable reason for that. So please share it. Please do whatever you can to get this out there and get this message heard. Once again, I want to thank the entire community in Conklin. I want to thank everybody that sat on the podcast with me. And I want to thank everybody that will be back and meeting in the future when we get up there to do some video. I look forward to getting back up there. I can't wait. And so, guys, stay tuned for that. Keeping it real. We'll have the video for you probably within a month's time. For now, the jig is up.
Long live the king.
Hey. My late cooking came from Kawaka to Express. Real warrior woman, probably popping moves there. It's poor man's if you wanna talk the language. 100 clicks north and Virginia's the rest. You still gotta be a chief to wear a headdress. So take your shit off before you ruin it for the rest. You better listen to your heart, there's too many heads. And watch what you say, man, there's way too many.